Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Everybody, welcome to a new episode of, You know what it is. I got my man Charlie Davies here. We're going to recap this whole thing in Soccer We Trust. We got to talk about all this. Charlie, obviously, we're waiting for Jimmy Conrad to join us. We got the opening match for the U.S. men's national team of this World Cup. We've been building this up for a while now. You and I and Jimmy and other guests that we've had on there, we've been talking about this for a good while. But now we finally get a chance to reflect on something of substance, Charlie. So first of all, what's your initial feelings? What's your initial takeaways before we really dive into this match?
Yeah, it's a point. It's not the end of the world. We were the better team. I'm a little frustrated. So this is the conflict that I'm dealing with. We should have won the game. We are the better team than Wales. I think we get the goal. They were sitting back. They were defensive. We get the goal. We say, come. But they still stayed, and they're fine with keeping it close. We didn't keep going. We stopped. Mm-hmm. So I think from that standpoint, we got to have a little bit more of that instinct to say, hey, let's end this game now in the first half. Let's go out and get another one. And the final third play wasn't sharp. Josh Sargent, I think he wasn't good in possession. But I don't want to take anything away from him because he did hold up the ball on the goal. In that breakdown, he didn't let the center back get to the ball. He was strong, so he held up the ball, and Christian Pulisic ran off of him. However, outside of that play and that near post run early on when he heads the ball off the crossbar, I thought, okay, this is him building the confidence. He lost the ball in possession. He wasn't in a good starting position when the outside backs had the ball for service because he wasn't a threat. They didn't have to worry about him because he was on the outside of the 18 or he wasn't deep. So that near post run, you couldn't make it because he wasn't an option. So I just think that there are things we could have done better. And then obviously the reckless challenge from Walker Zimmerman on Gareth Bale, you bail them out. Pun intended.
Well, you're totally right on this, right? I keep looking at this through two lenses. Mm-hmm. The lens of which we said, I don't care how this team plays. Go out, fight, find a way to get a result, right? Yep. By and large, they did that. But if you're going to do that, you cannot make the mistake that Walker Zimmerman made. You cannot give them anything. You have to make them suffer and earn or come up with something spectacular. Up until that point, I thought they actually denied most of those opportunities. Yes, Moore had a half chance on a header. We got a good look, but didn't make much of it. But overall, I was like, okay, that's actually not a bad game plan, and it's far off of how we maybe wanted them to play in terms of the beauty and the aesthetic of the game, but I thought they were accomplishing what I thought was a pretty clear game plan. But then when you make that mistake, like you said, we didn't keep going. So if you're going to take that one goal and you're going to play it like that, and it seemed like they were playing it like, get that goal and let's shut this thing down, you have to be able to shut it down. And that requires every single player on the field to be able to make unbelievable plays from that moment until the end of the game. Did you see it like that? Did at any point you think, because there was a window in the start of the second half where Wales looked good and you could see the energy, the noise of the stadium started to shift and you could see a little bit of momentum. But then 20 minutes into that, Wales hit a wall. They look tired. They look second to things. They look late to things. And that's where I was smelling like a little bit of blood, so to speak, where I was like, okay, there might be something here if we can actually take a few more risks and chances. But that's when I thought we started to get a little conservative. What was your take on that?
Well, I think Wales didn't have much going for them, except when they brought in the halftime substitution of Kiefer Moore was massive for them because they finally had a presence. And you could see, I think it was Musa who gave the ball away. And then all of a sudden, they started to get possession. It was around the 52nd minute, I want to say.
Right.
They started to get comfortable. And we dropped off. And we said, let's protect the lead, basically. And when Greg Berhalter made the subs of Kellen Acosta in the 75th minute, Yedlin, 74th, taking off Serginho Dest, and then Josh Sargent came off in right. And I thought Haji Wright came in and he had that little pep in his step. He was a little bit more explosive than Josh Sargent already. So I thought, what? I would have liked to see that from minute one. But I think he was ultimately protecting the lead. When you bring on Kellen Acosta for Yunus Musa, for me, that's a signal that we're gonna try and kill the game. We're happy with this 1-0 win. And I thought that would probably be the chance to say, let's end this game. You know, for me, Wales didn't have much going.
But Charlie, that's when the leadership has to come in. That's your Walker Zimmerman. That's your Tim Ream. That's exactly why you have these guys on the field. You could go with younger guys. You could go with guys that you think might make a mistake in those big moments. But in this, we opted for that conservative look of guys, look, I can trust guys that have been there before, guys that know the moment. That's so uncharacteristic of, I mean, I know Walker Zimmerman makes mistakes like anybody else, but to have that feeling in that moment, I wish the team would have just recognized like, hey, we're going to see this out. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be ugly. We're putting in a lot of conservative subs. Yes, some of them are around yellow cards, but like we're going to see this out. We're going to sit in our blocks and we are going to grind until the end. And that chance changes everything, because when you do play like that at the international level, at the World Cup, the biggest stage, you do not get to make a single mistake. You have to be perfect in that context. And they had 15 minutes to be perfect. And unfortunately, it's now cost them a point. Now, the flip side of that, Charlie, is I don't want to turn this into a full negative, because if we all talked about starting a point with this team of DeAndre Yedlin being the only player that has been to a World Cup before for this squad, not even on the field, they'd come into this game, they'd have some possession. They'd at times look like they were decent or were confident, and they were going to leave with a point in the first one, knowing we're going to have to get a point probably now against England and to win against what I think is a beatable Iran. Is it that bad to you, or is it more the way in which we gave up points?
It's the way. We are a better team than Wales. That's it. Yeah. We're a better team than Wales.
I fully agree with that.
So considering how the first half went, where they said, we're just going to defend, we'll let you have possession, and we were connecting passes, made it very predictable. They weren't threatening whatsoever, and we get our goal through a fantastic run of play, just how they launched the ball long, and all of a sudden we went from south to north in literally 2 seconds, bop, bop, bop. Christian Pulisic is running into space, the perfect weight pass against the grain for Tim Weah to slide into the far post. For me, that was perfect because we didn't hesitate. There wasn't left. We're not going to play east and west and take our time. It was, let's get down quick and get in behind. We didn't do that enough. I'm also looking at the way that we would win possession and then how we were connecting passes in the final third. We weren't playing quick enough. If you want to keep possession, that's great. I have no problem with that. It looks great. But how quick are we getting from one point of the field to the other, switching the point of attack? That didn't happen enough. Yeah. And for me, we have to figure out ways to be a little bit more dynamic. And I see a lot of comments. Where's Gio Reyna? Where's Gio Reyna? I've heard he picked up a knock. He picked up an injury. And that's why we didn't see Gio Reyna play. He might have started in this game if he were healthy, and it wouldn't have been Tim Weah. So I'm glad Tim Weah started and made the difference. We've been talking about the whole time. Put Weah up at the nine. He has the quality to be a great nine. So that therefore, we would have seen Gio Reyna play at that spot, or now, which I think will be Brendan Aaronson, although Weston McKennie doesn't look 100%.
That was the thing that I was going to get to. Weston McKennie, to me, again, and I go back to Landon Donovan's comments when he came on our show recently, and he talked about Weston McKennie actually being the most important player in this team in terms of when he's in his best form, he makes this team as good as they are. Mm-hmm. And – again, I take Weston McKennie into two chunks. Defensively, strong, solid. Did his job, worked hard for the team, didn't really expose himself much. But also in the buildup, like you said, that connective tissue between the midfield and the attack, he had more turnovers than I believe anybody. I don't know the exact stats, but he really struggled to find the rhythm of the game, didn't really look himself, didn't really look confident, and then at times even looked like he was hiding under pressure, where we usually see a Weston McKennie want that ball, knowing that he can create something out of it. So do you think, one, there's going to be a change in the next game for him? Do you think Brendan Aaronson gets a start in the next game? Just trying to think through how it might be different. Now, I really think that you look at this match and you say, this didn't work, let's use it for the next one, right? You put this behind you, say, we got a point. We now got to look at England. So let's focus actually on just this match in general. Do you think the game plan was clear? Do you think that we understood? Because for me, for the most part, I looked at the team. I looked at the way that we played. We looked risk-averse at times, which I was okay with. Lumped the ball forward, try to scrap for second balls, get the ball higher up the field. I thought we lacked ideas in the final third most of the time. But it seemed like there was some sort of identity there of like, hey, we don't need to play out of everything. We don't need to play through everything. Mm-hmm. Let's pick and choose our moments to take some risks. But overall, it was how I had hoped they'd come out. So I can't be mad about that. How about you?
First half, very positive, especially going into halftime with a 1-0 lead. No, I have nothing negative to say about the first half, except for we could have been more ruthless in the attacking third. I'm also going to look at the set pieces, the dead ball scenarios. It wasn't good enough. We didn't clear the first defender in a lot of instances. So we're not taking advantage of the set pieces. So a player like Weston McKennie, who's so dangerous on those set pieces, you don't even give him an opportunity. I'll also say that Weston McKennie looked like he wasn't trying to push it. He was doing everything he could just to be able to play the game. So therefore, I think the injury that he's playing with, because he's not 100%,
right,
is taking away from his ability, because it looks like he's just trying to survive. You could see him grasping at his groin constantly. The quad is heavily taped. That for me shows he's not at 100%. He's just trying to be gutsy. At what point do you say, as good as Weston is and how important he is to the team, maybe let's not start him, because he can't get to fifth gear. It's almost like he's playing in a fourth gear, if not third gear. And I've seen.
But didn't it seem like Greg Berhalter noticed that? Because in my mind, I was like, this might be a halftime sub. You know, he's really struggling to find pace. He was struggling to connect passes, do all the little things that this guy plays at Juventus. Mm-hmm. He knows how to connect passes. He knows how to play in tight areas. He knows how to play quick or slow it down and these types of things. And he looked off the pitch like he almost never really even found his confidence, let alone feeling good. That when Greg subbed him off, I was like, okay, we're actually recognizing. Because you and I have talked about times of like scratching our heads going like, why did that guy come off? Why did this guy come on? And this time it seemed like there was a recognition of like, hey, maybe he's not quite there yet. And that might be
sooner though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see there's a couple people that were like, oh, I thought Josh Sargent did great. I don't know what game they were watching, because Josh Sargent looked a step off the pace. He lost the ball a couple of times. Now he would find the right spot. And I look at if you look at the 16th minute, it's actually 15:02. If you're watching the game, if you replay the game, he pops up into a good spot. The ball gets played to his feet, but he is too slow to react and loses the ball, just because I don't know if he anticipated a defender. He maybe didn't check his shoulder, but it's a poor touch and he loses possession. That's just one instance. And
yeah,
to be more involved, right? I just think.
Yeah.
When
I know you're going to always be more critical. You're a striker. Yes. You're going to look at it through a very different lens. From my perspective on Josh Sargent, I thought that he was, I think we've set the bar relatively low for our strikers now of like, can they hold the ball? Can they pass the ball? Can they do the things that I think we've struggled to see sometimes our strikers do? And on that context, I was like, okay, he's finding the ball. He doesn't look out of place, right? He's battling, he's scrapping. But like you said, our striker does need to do more, especially if we're going to play in this type of system.
I'm obviously looking at the nine. I'm going to be probably more laser focused to see how that nine is and how they affect the game.
Yeah.
Josh Sargent, without him, that goal doesn't happen. So I've already said he was extremely important in the build up to that goal. His hold up play it made it possible. But and then in the 46th minute, in the first minute of extra time in the first half, he brings down a ball. The ball's flighted to his chest. He brings it down, calm in possession, and then he keeps it moving. So that those are two things that I picked out, and I said, wow, that's good from Josh Sargent. But largely ineffective. He looked a step off. It was slow. He lost possession. It didn't really impact the game outside of those few moments. So it wasn't a good performance from Josh Sargent, although he played a critical role in the goal. And then I would say I think Weston McKennie probably should have came off sooner. Halftime probably wouldn't have been a good sub for Brent Aaronson to get into the game, just because the way that Wales were playing, you didn't have to rely on set pieces. Because they weren't getting set pieces, committing these bad fouls. So I think Brent Aaronson coming into the game at that point would have been a good moment just for the starting the press.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that he struggled to really find the rhythm of the game too, because it was like the swing. He had to experience the swings of you know Wales settling in and being in decent form, and then trying to climb our way out of a 1-1 in that type of situation. Was it at all shocking to you that the players that we talked about making this roster as bubble players, right? We had players not even on the roster. We had Jordan Morris, not on the roster. Haji Wright, not on the roster. These guys played in the opening match. And we know that, obviously, Jordan Morris, circumstantial player. We know he's been really good for the national team over his history. Haji Wright, a circumstance-based player in terms of being a target and something different. But we went straight into the depths of our rosters right away in this first game. And does it make you think maybe we brought the right group of players, knowing that we're going to probably use more than we thought we were going to use, you know, thinking about those two guys getting in this first match?
Yeah, we brought the right players. I don't have any doubt, because you expect these guys to play 90 minutes for the most part, your best players, because they are young. It's not that they're, you know, 30, 35 years old. A lot of these guys are, 22 years old, 24 years old, 19, 22, 24, 25, 22. Those are the players who are getting the most run. So you expect, we don't need to go, you know, make substitutions at the 60th minute unless they're ineffective.
So on that, Charlie,
the nine is still the position.
you can't let the nine go, can you?
I can't.
You just can't
because,
let it go.
Because that's why I'm saying put Tim Weah. The goal that he scored is a class number nine finish. Fantastic finish. The timing of the run, the way he ran, the pace, the strength.
Shifted off his left foot to hit it with the right.
Play him at the nine.
Yeah.
And that way you can get Aaronson or Gio Reyna, God bless his soul, that he's 100% healthy and fit for England, because I think that's a player that we could have used in that attacking third, just because he gives you a little bit something different. He can take players. He's not afraid to take players on the dribble, and he can. So please put Way at the nine. Please.
Just hey, let me ask you this.
He gives you the pace too.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Christian Pulisic, the guy that we've all talked about, our fearless leader, Christian Pulisic, you know, Champions League winner, Christian Pulisic, still seemed like he wanted the ball in places where he could drop down deep and get the ball. And like you said, whether it's with Sargent or others, at times really struggled to I think, be impactful on the level. Now, what I do want to preface this with is, our young players looked better than Wales. Our team was better than Wales, I think. I think we deserved 3 points against Wales in this match. But a Christian Pulisic, do you think that he was effective in the way that he was playing? Do you think, obviously, the setup, the goal, the ball that he is, that's where we want the situations that we want him. But if he's dropping back that deep, or he's having to combine, or at times feel like he's taking on a lot of responsibility, where it's like almost better to get the ball in these sort of chaotic moments where the opposition is unbalanced and you can make one or two passes. I mean, what was your take on his performance in this game?
I think Christian was largely active. I liked his approach. He was being, I think, aggressive. There were times where he probably did a little too much, but he was earning corner kicks that we didn't do much with, but he was earning it. He's getting fouled. Players are going to foul him. He's shifty. He's our playmaker. Expect to get fouled. And then you hope that the ref brandishes yellow cards left and right. And then all of a sudden, now they can't take risks with stepping to him. Could he have been better? Yes, but for me, he was one of the bright spots on the pitch tonight for the U.S. So I'm actually optimistic and positive with Christian's play tonight. That obviously he took a few more touches in some areas of the field and gets fouled, but no. I think I'm positive about his performance. And then, you know, I think
any others that stand out for you
Tim Ream for me, again, you talked about a player not in the squad, not even close to it, comes in, starts in the first half, didn't put a foot wrong.
Yeah.
And they weren't threatening either. So it worked out perfectly for Greg Berhalter, because he said, man, Wales is going to drop back. Guess what? We have a center back who's calm and confident on the ball. And you could see Walker Zimmerman deferred to Tim Ream. He got the ball right to Tim Ream. You break the team down. And he wasn't afraid to fizz balls in between the lines. So I liked exactly what Tim Ream played. And the relationship with Tim Ream and Walker was great in the first half. They knew how to cover Daniel James and made it predictable. One would step, one would drop. And that played an important role in the goal. Tim Ream went for it. Walker's remembering covered. So I think the first half was great. In the second half, when they brought in Kiefer Moore, that's when it changed.
Yeah.
And not that it got crazy, but Walker Zimmerman didn't have to lunge on Gareth Bale in the box. Yeah. You never go to ground in that instance when his back is to the goal. And he basically used all the legs he had.
Yeah. Well, let's welcome in our resident center back, James P. Conrad. Jimmy, thanks for joining us, man. Obviously, you are there. You are in Doha. You are experiencing all that is U.S. men's national team. Tell us your initial thoughts. Obviously, Charlie's breaking down a little bit of like first half versus the second half. Talked a little bit about Weston McKennie struggling to really look like he was comfortable or find his form. Mentioned Josh Sargent needing to do more. And we were just now onto the center backs with Walker Zimmerman and Tim Ream, where he was complimentary of that center back pairing until the second half, obviously.
Tim Ream in particular was sharp tonight.
Yeah, and Kiefer Moore coming on and changing the dynamic of that game, almost neutralizing them in some ways, and giving Wales now an outlet that even made, you know, Rambo a better player in the second half.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys as always. Hopefully you're getting me a little bit.
You look
bit
a lot more sharper today. Yeah, more
thanks,
alert.
Buddy, I appreciate
Did you come from
that.
The game? Yeah. Did you go to the game?
I didn't go to the game, no. I have to be kind of on a stage away from it. But I'm hopeful my credential gets me into games. I just have to figure out a way to get there. overall, the first half, I was really proud. I thought we controlled the game. We were dictating the flow of the game, the rhythm of the game. I thought that the connection between Sargent and Weah in particular was very good in terms of when Sargent dropped into midfield, Weah would know to really get in advance of him. And that ultimately led to the goal that we scored, a very good goal. And then I'm pretty sure, I'd be really surprised if Greg didn't tell the guys that they're going to make adjustments. They can't play as poor as they did in the first half. Something's going to have to change. I was pretty surprised that Dan James came out and Kiefer Moore came in. Maybe somebody else, but no. I thought pretty surprised that Dan James. Either way, Kiefer Moore comes in, and that's already a signal of intent that they're going to try to do something different, that they're going to try to commit some more numbers. And ultimately, that makes Gareth Bale's game a little bit easier. He has somebody to play off of him that's a little bit more in advance of the ball. And I felt like we just continued to sit back and absorb and sit back and absorb. Did we have a chance or two to potentially kill off the game? Maybe nothing clear cut.
Don't you think that was a little bit of that sitting back versus like being on that front foot of willing to say, hey, there might be a second out of here, but it seemed like it was very much like we got our one goal. Let's be grateful for that and let's grind this out. But that means, you know, as Charlie and I just talked about, you pretty much got to be perfect for the rest of the match. Talking specifically about the Walker Zimmerman incident.
No, of course. Yeah. I mean, with regard to Walker, I mean, if we really try to nitpick, that ball on the sideline looked like it might have been out. That said, we had more than enough guys in that area of the field that probably should have done something a little bit better, may have been a little bit more switched on when Wales took a quick throw in. You know, these are the little things that maybe you pick up on. I don't know. I don't really want to talk about inexperience here. It might be some low-hanging fruit that if we had a little bit of an older team, like we're probably not going to make that mistake again with a quick throw in and somebody not sliding over a little bit quicker. Yeah, Walker Zimmerman, I mean, we can kind of slice it how all the ways that we want, but Walker Zimmerman just can't dive in
Bad
there.
Decision.
There's just no reason for him to dive in there. And I really want to give a shout-out to Gareth Bale for his savvy there, because that's something a proper number nine would do, that if you can sense you can get to the ball first, all you have to do is get yourself between a ball and a lunging defender, and you put yourself in a position to earn a penalty.
Yes.
And that's when we saw. When I saw it firsthand or in real time, I thought, I don't know. I think Bale's making a meal of it. And then you see it, you're like, nope, that is the whole meal. And Walker took the biggest chunk out of him. And it's disappointing. As a defender, you can be very good for 99% of the game, but it's that 1% if you don't make that play. now you're the one that everybody thinks, not as they sucks, but, you know, costs us the game. And that's unfortunate because, you know, he'd been solid for a number of times for us and solid tonight until that one moment. And that's it. I mean, we've talked about this before, Heath and Charlie. Yeah. It's the fine margins at this level. And we didn't make that one or two plays that could have helped us get all 3 points. And, well, and especially I will say this.
Silver lining.
The 5 times that we've either won or drawn, you probably guys have already seen this, but the silver lining, won or drawn the opening game of the group stages, we've gone on to get out of the group. So I'm going to take that and ride with it, and hopefully we'll learn from this and get better.
Yeah, and I think Charlie and I both agree. Charlie, what are you holding up right now for people that are listening to this?
Yes, I'm holding up a bowl, a nice, beautiful bowl that we got from Wonderful Pistachios, and I also put the pistachios in there. Clean. This is a presentation.
Charlie, are you giving free ads right now on our show?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
You know, I don't give those free ads. Hashtag.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, it's not free. Sure. I know you're gonna. Yeah, we're not. Hey, but listen, real quick, everybody that's watching this live right now, we're gonna be doing 30-day P Plus subscription giveaways throughout the tournament. So every time we hit 300 likes, we'll give one away. So make sure you like, subscribe, and drop your Twitter handle in the chat to enter into that giveaway. 30 days for the premium free trial of Paramount Plus. So make sure you're sending all your information our way. Let's get back a little bit to this game in general. Are you both happy, I guess, in take away the way we played? I think it was a clear game plan. Like, at least we were going to play more direct, less risky. It seemed to present itself. I thought, again, started the second half, they started to lean on us a little bit for quite a while. And then they fizzled out. There was like a 10-minute window where Wales just looked tired. And when I break down anything, it's not about individual performances. I thought the fight was good. I thought the collective energy was good. But it was just this window of time where you could see Wales were arriving to the balls late. They were slow in transition. They were a little bit exposed. And that's where I was like, can we just get one or two players and not have it have to be given to us on a bad turnover where we can have some combination play and lead us to a second goal? Was there anything, I guess, Jimmy, I'll start with you, that you wish just – in that moment or in those moments would have been recognized that could have led to a different result in this match?
Do you think that the subs were part of that? And not to say that the subs were poor or, you know, the changes seemed okay when they were made. I was like, all right, those make sense. Maybe three at once seems like a lot. I know that you only have a certain amount of windows to make changes.
Was that a signal of intent to you? Like we're just trying to hold on to this?
Yeah, I think when you bring in... Yeah, especially when you bring in Kellen Acosta, I think you make it pretty clear that you're trying to lock it down, give Tyler Adams a little bit of help in that midfield and try to lock that space in front of the back four. It didn't work out tonight and one play ended up costing us, but I didn't mind the move overall. You'd like to think that was also, when you make a sub like that, that the rest of the team knows what's going to happen too. And maybe that's not what we wanted. I don't know. It's a tough one. I think it's something the group can learn from, that we have to learn how to close out games. And even if we bring on different players, they can solve that. But I wonder if that 15 minutes or 10 minutes that you're talking about is when the subs were made. Because as you guys know, it's tough when you come on as a sub in any position. It takes you a couple minutes to get up to the game speed and to kind of know where you're going to fit in and how you can help out the team.
How about you, Charlie? Anything from this match that just stood out to you as one thing that you could be super critical of? Because I don't want to make it super negative. Our young team, who's never been in a World Cup before other than DeAndre Yedlin, came out of that with a point. I think they're a better team than Wales, and they showed it in a lot of ways. They showed the fight and the passion that we've said has been missing. So I don't want to turn this into like a doom and gloom type of thing, but was there any moment or any type of thing in the game?
It's not doom and gloom. It's not doom and gloom. I'll tell you right now, if it was doom and gloom.
Because the chat room wants Greg's head right now. So
No, you can't. If we took an L, today, that's doom and gloom for sure. Mm-hmm. We're out. England and Wales are through. I'm still optimistic because we saw Iran is hopeless, because I think they're one. England broke the spirit of them. There was already turmoil just because of everything that's going on in their country and how powerful it was when the national anthem was played for Iran and the players didn't sing. And you know how proud and passionate they are of their people. So there's already that conflict. I think England just absolutely broke their spirit. And it's hard for them to bounce back. Of course, if they lose against Wales, it's all over for them. And so the last game, do they have enough to play for their country, or is it kind of we're done? I think we can surprise England. they have the vulnerabilities. We saw that in the game against Iran, even though Iran gave up after, I'd say, after that second or third goal. But they still showed that they leave themselves open to counterattacks. They leave themselves open to that 1v1 play where they bet too much on themselves with Eric Dier and John Stone. So I'm optimistic with our group. That being said, I think what's so disappointing for all of us watching is because we were so much better than Wales. In that first half especially, we should have scored or at least had more opportunities to score goals. We just didn't. We settled. We scored the goal. It was like, yay, we did it. Now let's settle. Let's win 1-0. When it should have been, let's make it 2. Let's make it 3. And that's the difference between England versus Iran and us versus Wales. We didn't have the impetus to say, let's keep going, guys. They're settling back. They're just bunkered in. They're not even, there's no response from them.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say a lot of that comes down to the fact that I think that that goal probably in the players' eyes was unexpected, right? I don't think anybody, but we've struggled to score for so long, especially in the run of play like that, and have multiple things have to happen in terms of a quality for us to get a goal that it almost seemed like when we scored, it was like, what do we do now, right? You know, I would have guessed in that locker room, that's probably going to be a grind, knowing that it was going to scrap and battle all the things they prepared for. They exposed Wales and they were like, okay, we're better than them and we're up 1-0. Maybe we should just count our blessings and try to grind this thing out. Obviously, it doesn't work out in the end. Still get a point, which I think is really important. But listen, we've got so much more to talk about. So those of you that are watching this live, do not go anywhere. We're going to take our first and only break of the show. When we come back, we're going to discuss more of this breakdown from the Wales and U.S. opening match of the World Cup. Welcome back, everybody. Now, listen up. The soccer world eyes are focused on Qatar for the biggest event on the global stage. Stay up to date with every story and every heart-pounding moment with the Golazo Starting 11 newsletter from CBS Sports. It's your ultimate guide to the beautiful game, taking you beyond the pitch and around the globe with expert analysis and everything you need to know in the world of soccer. Sign up today for free at cbssports.com/Golazo. Once again, it's Golazo Starting 11 newsletter, and you can sign up for free at cbssports.com/Golazo. GOLAZO. Make sure you signed up to that, man. We're giving a lot of free stuff, which I can respect. It's all about providing the community with an opportunity to come together and chat. But let's get back to this game. Jimmy, you've been around a lot of ex-national teamers since you've been in Doha. You've been along a lot of experienced players that have either played in World Cups and been in tough moments, good moments. What's been the overall, was there a shared sentiment? Was there was the range of excitement or belief, was there a wide range to that, or what's going on?
I would say, no, it's a great question. I would say cautiously optimistic that we had a team that could do something special, but do they believe that they can do something special? And yeah, you can say it and you can see videos or any social media stuff and you can see the camaraderie, but you really don't know until the game starts. And I thought that first 45 minutes was fantastic. It was a bit of a tale of two halves. I can understand why there might be some frustration with Greg. Did he not pull the right strings? Did he not make the right subs? Did he not say the whatever it is? There's already people out there that have their agenda, as it were. And this is what he's going to be judged on. And when we had something, and I think when I saw those former national team players congregating today to talk about the game, it just felt like a loss. Like we had it there. It was in our hands and we just gave it back. And that was probably the most disappointing or collective feeling that I think we had as a group. what I'll add is there are a lot of positives to take out of this game. I love our balance of our team. I thought starting Timo Weah was the right choice. Now, it seems like Gio Reyna didn't, I don't know, I think he suited up but didn't even warm up. So I'm kind of curious as if you guys have heard anything. We couldn't hear anything.
I've heard he picked up a slight knock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of his middle name these days, so I'm not really surprised. But hopefully he can get healthy and get back. And then Brendan Aaronson, obviously coming off as a super sub. I think that was something we had just discussed quite a bit in terms of where does he fit in. Weston McKennie, yeah. I think he put in a good shift for us. Was it maybe 5-10 minutes too long? Because he looked like he was hobbling a little bit when he came off. So I'm kind of curious to see what it looks like moving forward. But I love the balance in our team. I thought Timo Weah gave us that depth. He gave us a little bit of that threat in behind, which was important. And then Anthony Robinson is doing a much better job, especially now with Fulham being in the Premier League. He's got to be a lot more thoughtful about when he goes forward and when he goes back. I think his discipline and understanding of when to go is improving game by game, and I thought that we saw that a lot. I really liked our team in a lot of different ways. There's really nothing I can – I mean, we can nitpick, but this was a promising performance.
It's easy to nitpick because we were the better team, right? We deserve to win. And I think that's when we come over the top because we're like, it's not good enough. We should have won.
Yeah.
But ultimately, a point.
Especially
is,
when we were
good.
Winning too.
Yes.
Like those two things where it's like being better is one thing, being better and ahead is another thing. Like mm-hmm. those things start to mount. And obviously all of us who have been in high stakes moments before, you always feel like when that slips away from you, it feels like a little bit of a loss, right? And you want to nitpick it because you want to make it less about, like, as a team, you don't want to make it about Walker Zimmerman, right? You don't want to just say he's the one that made the team give up the points.
But you knew when that was like, going to happen.
Yeah.
You knew Walker Zimmerman was going to get it from supporters just because they weren't happy with Walker Zimmerman, especially when his form, I think, with Nashville hasn't been the best. And coming into this tournament with the friendly against Japan and Saudi Arabia, him and Aaron Long, that partnership didn't work. So all eyes were going to be on Walker Zimmerman. A lot of people were questioning Tim Ream just because he had been out of the picture, even though he's playing regularly at Fulham, just because of the lack of pace. But he reads the game so well. In a game like today, it was so easy for him because Wales were dropped back and they didn't have any threats. And Daniel James was on an island. And
I agree with that.
We knew Gareth Bale didn't have the legs. He's not making sprints anymore. Realistically, he likes to just check in underneath. And
I'll jump in and say very quickly about the center backs though. Mm-hmm. And as I think this through and reflect a little bit more on the second half, it really is on our center backs in some capacity to make sure we don't drop too deep. And it's on Matt Turner to make sure, you know, just being vocal, just to stay a little bit higher. I'm not talking we're playing this high line at midfield. I'm just talking 3 or 4 and 5 yards. And you guys know that makes a big difference, especially if Matt Turner can come out and be that. He did come out towards the end when it was a 1v1 there. We were trying to get back in it at the very end and headed that one out. And then Kellen Acosta, smart yellow card, by the way. I want to give him a shout out for that. But I thought the line started to collapse on each other. And to kind of give you a definition of what that means is when our midfield and our back line are way too close.
They start to blend.
And yeah, they start to blend. And when they start to blend and you get too close to each other, there becomes this gray area of like, am I going to step to the ball or are you going to step to the ball? And when that starts to happen, that's when pockets of space and that uncertainty starts to pop in. And then it gets infectious. It just starts to spread throughout the team. And then your team shape is off. And so I really feel like...
Well, and nerves are going up and fatigue is going up.
What's that?
I said, and nerves at that point are going up.
Yes, of course.
You know, fatigue is going up. Like it starts to become this perfect storm of a situation. But then we talked about this before, Jimmy, and before you jumped on the show. The players that I would have expected to not make that mistake are the ones that I think Greg brought because of their experience, right? Now, if you had a Robinson there, a fit Robinson there, or you had a young other center back that makes that mistake, okay. But you're bringing these players with experience because you're like, I trust you to make the right decisions. It's obviously, like you said, it's marginal at this level. And it happens so quickly. You don't expect Walker Zimmerman to make that. But it was, I feel like you said it well, indicative as the game went on that they were dropping deeper and deeper and sort of withstanding more that they could have prevented every like 3-4 yards of just taking those little tiny steps that make the strikers have to play, honestly, or the wingers have to track back and those types of things. Yeah. Charlie, what's your thought?
Well, I was going to address one of the comments on the YouTube section.
Of course you are, Charlie. You are literally the YouTube section. You're the hall monitor.
Yeah.
You are the hall monitor.
I have to monitor. So Jabron Khan said, stop spinning this to the positive. We should have won. The media quotes, needs to be hard on the team. Now, you could be negative and just be grumpy about this result. Yes, we all think we should have won this game. We were the better team. But that's 100%. Not how this sport works. You have to either A, stomp on their necks by just being aggressive and being relentless and forcing them to just give up because we just keep scoring, or we close out the game. Greg Berhalter decided to close out the game. He figured, man, they're not that threatening. 1-0 is good. We'll take it at that because we haven't been a sharp in the final third. So ultimately, they were on the path to doing that. But I was critical watching the game that Anthony Robinson was giving too much space to the outside players for Wales to cross the ball. You cannot, if you're going to drop, you cannot not allow them to have free service and pick out where they want to go. You close it down and force them to either ricochet it off you or have to recycle and circulate the ball back across to the other side. But we were allowing them to serve the ball into the box. That was the issue. We're still in a good spot. So at one point going into the game against England, I'm going to be positive. Why would I say, oh, we're done. It's over. It's hopeless.
Yeah.
Because even if we lose to England and we keep it close and we beat Iran, more than likely, I think we're still going through.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would say that.
So that's why we're keeping it positive.
If you would have approached it, or if you would have told us ahead of time that we would have got out of the Wales game with a 1-1 draw, and you would have known that Iran is now -4 goal difference after the first one. I don't know. I guess if we had been down a goal and came back and scored, we'd be feeling a lot more positive about, not necessarily completely positive, but feeling good that we were the ones that fought back. And we, you know, that's the easy narrative there. But I don't know. I still feel somewhat positive, I guess, by what I saw, how close we were to closing out that game and getting the 3 points. So for me to jump on the negative train, just to be an asshole is not something I like to do in my normal life. So
none
I'm not going to go do it now.
None of us.
And then also I want to say that when these guys get to this level and you're the players, whatever you think about the coaching staff, I know that they do it too. And they're playing a different game because they have to work with the media in a much different way than I think the players do. But these guys aren't playing at these level without knowing when they make mistakes. They're looking at all the little things about how to get better. So for us to then pile on, or even if we did, we're like, hey, you know, Walker Zimmerman's got to do better. I'm pretty sure Walker Zimmerman knows that he needs to do better. It's like, yeah, no shit. Thanks, guys. You know, thanks, Captain Obvious. So it's just, I don't know.
Well, he didn't even fight the penalty call. That's when you know that, like, he just was like, you know, there's the players around him, but you can tell that
he wouldn't call it. So I get it. I mean, there's room for criticism and people should be held accountable. But there was a lot of positives in this game that I was actually pleasantly surprised. And in some ways I was wondering what Wales is doing in the first half. Cause they just decided to sit back and absorb and not really try to play the game. And we tried to play, we tried to dictate things, we tried to win the game and we deserved our goal. And I love that because we can't always say that about some national team performances, especially in a World Cup in our first one in 8 years.
And I will add, we aren't just in here throwing roses all over the place and saying everything's great and dandy. Everybody had an 8. Everyone was great. No, we've been honest. We've said, you know, Josh Sargent wasn't good enough, although he made a big play for us because without him, we don't score that goal with his holdup play, but largely not good enough, not effective enough. I'd say Weston McKennie also kind of just doing enough to play because you could tell that injury is bothering him. He's not 100%. So at halftime, I would have liked to see him get subbed. I have no problem with him starting. You're saying, okay, I believe in Weston. Maybe he's going to be great enough to make an impact in this game off of set pieces. But because of the way that Wales played, you didn't have to worry about set pieces in this game, at least defensively. So put on Brandon Aaronson at halftime, give him 45 minutes because he'll be able to press. He'll be able to get on the ball and play, be a little bit more aggressive. I think that's what we needed, a little bit more of that killer instinct and also being clean in the final third, which we didn't have. We said Anthony Robinson. Yes, he was, making runs at times, being impactful, but gave too much space in the end of the game for service. Tim Ream, largely good. In the first half, didn't put a foot wrong. Second half, I think there were times where they got caught sleeping, and Walker Zimmerman especially, because obviously he gave up the penalty. And what Jimmy Conrad is saying is, we don't just have to go, oh, Walker's the worst, and he, bench him, don't play him. That's not how it works. He made a bad mistake. We called him out on it, but that's it. Done. He knows he made a mistake. Everyone knows it. And then I'd say Serginho Dest to finish also didn't impress. Yeah. He had space.
Do you think that, sorry, Heath, I know you should be chiming in here because it's just me and Charlie show right now. But do you think Serginho Dest got a little bit limited in his influence because he had Timo Weah in front of him? Whereas if he had a Gio Reyna or a Brendan Aaronson, those guys naturally drift inside a little bit. And that just, he just couldn't get the normal width and get to the end line like he usually does if he doesn't have a Weah in front of him.
No? I'd say no, because his service just wasn't good anyways. So
okay,
even if you tried, Serginho. You tried. Even if you can't get to the end line because Timothy Weah is there and he's saying, hey, I'm taking the spot. I see the vulnerabilities. I'm not going inside. I'm staying wide. Then you say to Serginho Dest, well, if they're still not putting pressure on me, I'll go inside and I'll start to combine. I'll go inside to out, and then we can swap places. And then the early service, either way, it wasn't sharp. So I think we could have got a little bit more from Dest. And that one opportunity where Yunus Musah dribbles out of the left, comes back out to the right, plays it to Dest, and they're dropping so low that he takes a touch in this, takes a shot from outside. That's encouraging. That's good. But we didn't see enough of it.
Yeah, I guess let's put it in a little bit of context, Jimmy, in terms of your – and before I say this, I do want to say that I think this team is what we've asked for in terms of consistency that we haven't seen for a long time. There was nobody on that field today that I go, oh, my gosh, dude, like, how is he getting called in? That's what we've experienced for a year, right? Somebody stands out of going, like, they're not ready because they're too young, or they're not in it, or they're not fit. We have a real reason. This was a real collective performance. And yes, we played pretty conservative, pretty risk-free. That eliminated any real risk. And like you said, you saw some standout things like Serginho Dest and others losing the ball. Weston McKennie, I thought, wasn't great at his passing, but was solid defensively. Who was your most important player today?
I think I know where you're going with this. How about we say this? Would you, because I feel like we're going to get into, you know, having to categorize guys that maybe didn't, I don't know, potentially, I don't know, it's getting, all right, if you want to go that direction, but I maybe consider this.
No, it's not the worst player, but like, who was somebody, because for me, it's Weston McKennie today. I'll at least say that, because he doesn't look fully fit.
Well, he struggled to complete passes.
He was hiding at times in the buildup and possession. Again, to Serginho Dest's point, I don't think Weston McKennie, who's far more often on that side, provided options and opportunities to play out. And when he did, he turned those over or made a bad pass or didn't check in. The timing of that was off. And that was somebody that I know is quality. And again, I mentioned at the top of the show with Landon Donovan saying he's got to be his best for this team to be really good. And when he is, this team is great. He has to find that next gear, or we have to find somebody who will find that next gear in order for us to go from here and up a notch. So I guess I'm just trying to find context of, like, was there anybody that was a nine to you today?
Timo Weah was very, very good. I thought he was an option for us if we hit anything up over the top. Obviously, he makes a great well-timed run off a great pass from Christian Pulisic. I thought his goal was very well taken. I like that he gives us a little something where he gets to the end line. He takes people on. I think that we can make good, strong runs when he's in and around that area where he can hit crosses, because he knows that you can consistently get something from him. We almost got an own goal off of something that he put into the mixer as well. That was dangerous. I really liked him. I thought it was a smart start, and I thought it paid off. In terms of the worst, it's tough. There were a couple guys that maybe weren't as sharp or what we expected. I think Weston McKennie for injury purposes. I thought Yunus Musah was kind of quiet. I wouldn't call him the worst, but I thought he was getting the ball a little bit deeper than I'm sure he would have preferred. And I don't know. And in fairness, Wales were trying to block that area of the field and not allowing him to kind of dance through that.
It wasn't as smooth either, driving through spaces.
Who was the best defender for you both?
Probably Tim Ream.
I'd say Tim Ream for me. Yeah.
Tim Ream.
Completely solid. Yeah. Again, I go deep in the second half, and I started to see him look a little tired. He was getting pulled out to the sideline a lot more, right? He was scrapping and battling with Kiefer Moore, who was laying the ball off and spinning out. And that's, again, when we talk about John Anthony Brooks and Tim Ream, that's worst case scenario for us, is that when they're getting dragged into the midfield, getting pulled in, the guy's wrapping him up, and then laying the ball off, spinning off, like those little tiny movements that require, you know, either strength or speed that I don't think he necessarily has. But overall, I would say that he was pretty solid in the air, scrapping, doing the things that you're going to have to do against the Wales. I thought he was really good. What about
Agreed.
You?
Okay. I have a question for both of you and for everybody watching and listening on your podcast platform of choice. And I know we're getting early. This is more of like an instant reaction right after the 1-1 draw against Wales. Your instant reaction to this. Obviously, we're going to do a proper preview for the England game. But based on what you saw today, what lineup would you want to see? Instant reaction lineup after the Wales game against England. Charlie, I want to hear from you first. Would you change out Sargent? Would you?
Yeah, Charlie's changing Sargent for sure.
Okay. Well, even though he played
against those guys last year,
to bring in Charlie Davies. Nobody can fit the mold of Charlie Davies.
Here we go. Here's my 11.
Yeah, I want to hear it. Like, give us your instant reaction. No. Starting 11. Everybody listening and watching.
Yeah. Matt Turner, goal. Anthony Robinson, left back. Tim Ream again. Walker Zimmerman again. Sergiño Dest. Tyler Adams again. And then I'm having Yunus Musa and Brendan Aaronson. There,
okay.
Christian Pulisic left, Timo Weah at the nine, and at the right wing spot, hopefully Gio Reyna is ready to go, and that would be my 11.
Interesting. Wow. Like that.
I will say, though, there was some fluidity to the team today that I saw Pulisic end up on the right. I saw Musa Weah out on the left. Mm-hmm. I saw Timo Weah come to the left. That and that willingness to get the ball and sort of play in those circumstances was something that I hadn't seen. It felt so rigid before, where we talked about, like, no. Pulisic, he only plays on the left. He's a left midfielder. He drives inside on his right foot. He comes back to get the ball. Like, seeing them line up in other positions throughout the game, I thought, to me, was at least a little bit of, it felt like there was a little bit of freedom and trust that they had. Like, they basically realized they can all do this, and that was kind of cool. Jimmy, my 11, same back line as Charlie had. Tyler Adams again at the six. I'm going to go with Brendan Aaronson and Yunus Musa. I like, again, that I want to see that combination of Aaronson and Tyler Adams, right? We've seen that at Leeds, where they're starting to build a little bit of a rhythm together, in which that speed and transition, they kind of know where each other plays. I'd like to see that come to life a little bit. And then right midfield, I'm gonna go with Timo Weah again, left Christian Pulisic, and then up top, I'm probably going with Haji Wright as just a bigger body. And
did you feel like Haji Wright made much of an impact, though, when he came on?
I don't think he did, but I don't think I'm gonna start Sargent in that game, because I don't think Sargent had much of an impact. But when I think about the fact that, like, if you watched England play and the way that they can win everything in the air, they can scrap for balls, like, we need somebody that's going to scrap. We need somebody that's going to fight and occupy. Again, when I look at the biggest difference of this whole game, of all the subs and everything that happened in the game, it was Wales recognizing, we're going to throw on Kiefer Moore, and that's going to change the dynamic for us. And it completely changed the dynamic for them. It changed the game. That's the only reason they came out of that game with a point, is because of that substitution, that tactical shift that they made of, like, this isn't working. We're not playing well. We're going to go with something different. And maybe that means Haji Wright's a different opportunity. He's obviously not a Kiefer Moore, but I'm trying to think of something different of, like, how can we leave some firepower to know if it's not working, that we can have real impact? Because what I didn't see is huge impact off of our bench tactically. It felt like we were slotting in one-for-ones and less so about changing the way we want to play.
Well, then if Haji Wright's the guy that's going to draw attention from the center backs, so that allows our dynamic wingers to, and Brendan Aaronson and the Yunus Musa to run at them, then I think that's a good thing. We saw them struggle against Iran today when somebody actually runs at them, makes purposeful passes, good, you know, darting runs in between, these little tiny diagonals to create some space, create some opportunities, either shots or crosses or whatever it is. That's where they do struggle. And we saw it against in the 3-3 game in England and Germany. We won't get into the weeds in this too much, but when Musiala went straight at Harry Maguire, got a penalty. And I think we have the players that can do similar things. It's just a matter of getting the ball to them in those areas. And we need a number nine.
Do you want Timo Weah there at the nine?
I wouldn't mind. I've been clamoring for Timo Weah, the number nine, for like 6 months.
I know.
Stop it. Both of you, stop it. He showed everything you need from a nine. His run, his pace, his strength, and his production.
He went from outside to in for the goal. He went from outside to in. He started
the winger position. That's what strikers do. Strikers go make a run in the channel, then you come back in. It's the movement. Either way, you want someone who's leading the line, who has pace, who can make a defender think, take a second thought about stepping up into the midfield and being ultra aggressive, because they can condense the field. All of a sudden you got one or two players thinking, oh man, do I step? He's got pace. I know if he has a step on me. And then the clinical finish. We haven't had a nine who could do that.
That was So I mean, when I saw it come on his left foot and he shifted back his body to put it on his right and flick it like that, I was like, oh my gosh.
Hey, goal cup?
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's Granada and it's not Wales, but
same Granada.
It's pretty crazy that Timo Weah's dad, George Weah, is the only African to win the Ballon d'Or award as the world's best player. Never got to play in a World Cup, and he got to see his son score his World Cup debut. It's pretty awesome, man. That is an incredible story.
And Jimmy, I think you asked the question. What's your 11?
No. I agree with you. So Turner and goal, I think the same back four, Tyler Adams right in front. We've seen that in previous World Cups, even in 2014, that if we keep a same back five and the goalkeeper as well, you start to build that rapport and trust in high pressure situations. And I don't want to get away from that because of one play against Walker.
The Zimmerman incident was a mistake, but it wasn't like run of play, bad pass, bad back pass. That is just a thought decision that you make. And that's different than I think if Walker Zimmerman gave a square pass and somebody dribbled down the field and scored off of that, I'd be like, yeah, that guy shook.
I'm going to have to say, stop it again. If you or Jim made that tackle in the box, you're not playing. That is a decision, and that is the train of thought. If you went to ground in a box with a defense with a striker who's not facing the goal, he's got his back to goal in a position where you shouldn't. You both are one looking at the other defender. If a defender,
well, of course you are.
Game,
yeah.
And you're saying,
well, I wouldn't be looking at Aaron Long and fearing too much, but Cameron Carter-Vickers been potentially.
No, it still comes back to the idea of like who. Who are you going to go with then, Charlie? You literally just started in your next game.
Zimmerman.
Hey, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying you take him out.
You said us. We're getting benched. But he's not getting benched.
I'm saying you know as a defender.
Hey, Charlie's been hanging on the internet. He's trying to win everybody. He's got way up top. He's got Reyna. Reyna didn't even play. Reyna didn't even play. He's got Reyna on the wing. He's going with all the things that are speculative. You know, he's got way up top. You know, he's got Pepe somewhere coming off the bench still.
My YouTube fan, they know. They're ready from day one.
Oh, gosh.
Whenever anybody's stayed on the internet, Charlie's going to go agree with you. That's amazing.
No, but I've been saying
I got to. I don't want a 75 or 80% Weston McKennie, at least starting. I think maybe you can bring him on if you feel like there's a situation. Obviously, he's good on set pieces. I'm still waiting for us to score on a set piece. We haven't done that in a while. So probably Aronson in that position, unless Gio Reyna is an option and wants to play a little bit more central. Timo Weah has got to be on the field. I want him. I've been clamoring for him at the number nine for quite some time because we can get more of our dynamic players on the field. And I would love for that to happen. I don't know if it's going to. But yeah, if I had to pick, then I would go Pulisic, Weah, and then probably Gio Reyna if he's healthy. But it's tough. I wonder though, because just to get into it. I mean, you've got Jude Bellingham versus who? Like, who's going to sit on him and do the work to kind of cover that guy? That's going to be pretty intense. That's something to keep in mind. Actually, I've seen him roll out Kellen Acosta before.
It's not one player.
I get that, but
you can't take one player against Saka. You can't take one player against Bellingham or Sterling. It's got to be a collective effort, and that brings us back to when we were playing. When we were playing against the best teams, who was marking Ronaldinho? Who was marking Robinho? Who was marking Xavi and Torres and David Villa? It had to be collective. That's when this team is at their best, when they all have to participate in defending and helping. And then that's when you can spur that one player into space. Christian Pulisic, Timo Weah, Gio Reyna. But the only way we're beating England is if multiple team players are helping on one player. And it's got to be the weak sides getting support and so on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking myself into a little bit of a circle here, or at least in my mind.
Well, we're going to get into a preview, so don't give too much.
Yeah, we will, but
it's
like if you brought in Acosta, then you could maybe push Musa higher, where he is playing a little bit higher for Valencia, and that's something that piques my interest. But because England is going to have a lot of the ball, and you need some guys that are going to work.
Yeah, well, again, that's my only worry on Timo Weah is that on the wings, I know that when he checks in and spins out, you lump that ball in there. And he's got a chance, right? He'll chase it down. Maybe it gets kicked out for a throw-in. Maybe it gets whatever. But down the middle, I worry about, like, he could go 45 minutes with the way that we're capable of playing at times with not getting a ball. You lump that ball over the top. It's in the goalie's hands, right? You split him where he's checking back and he's ineffective. I'm like, in a perfect world, I'm with you, Charlie. I would love to see him at the nine. But I tend to get very weirdly pessimistic about, like, putting a player that I've seen as an asset somewhere else because I know what he can do when I don't believe that the players around him can get him to do what he's going to do. And that's why I always kind of shy away from from that type of thing.
You think with Reyna, who's played Haaland, for instance, knowing that he can supply a striker, and you have Christian Pulisic on the other side, that both of them can beat players on the dribble, that if Timo Weah just makes his runs, they will find him.
I agree with that.
Not reinventing the wheel.
You're preaching to the choir, man. Okay. You know I've been wanting Timo Weah in the number nine for...
But we got that run like one time today against Wales. And that was in a turnover and transition.
Okay, here comes the realist. The optimist
It wasn't like that we had little darting runs and we were taking chances in and around the box. More often than not, when we got possession in their half, we were playing negatively and going around the bowl with 10 passes and not deciding to have that little combination play where a team away can slot and get the ball. Finally, like you said, I guess it only does take one because that's what got us the goal and that should have got us the win. So it's not like you need 10 of those in a game. But yeah, I don't disagree though, Charlie.
And I'm not saying team away is Haaland. What I'm saying is
Gio Reyna. Oh, the internet's turning on. Yep. Internet's turning on Charlie, dude.
They're still with me. They're still rocking with me. What I'm saying is he's used to playing into a striker who makes runs off defenders' back shoulders. He can do that. So for me, Reyna should start against England, given that, you know, Weston McKennie's not at 100% and Josh Sargent underperformed.
Didn't Greg say that Josh Sargent made the team because he plays against these guys regularly in England? Like that was the Wales team and the English team. That's what he said. That's all I'm saying.
And then my rebuttal to that is, yeah, and he showed it with his performance today against Wales.
Off the post and he held the hold up play that freed.
I know. Now you're just trying to light me up. I'm not taking the bait.
Hey, it's a game of moments. It's a game of moments. You know, he had a couple moments. Well, yeah. All right. Listen. Look, we've got an unbelievable audience that has joined us on this live show tonight. So we're going to take it to final thoughts to make sure we leave some room for everybody to come back on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time for our official live preview of U.S. versus England. So let's go with final thoughts. Jimmy, any final thoughts for you before Charlie goes on a 4 or 5 minute final thought?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the best way to kind of sum up what we saw today was a tale of two halves. First half, we were completely dominant. I think that Wales let us be dominant in some areas of the field, to your point, Heath, where they let us have those 10 passes around, but never really threatening until we found a way to make it happen. I thought we were the better team in the first half. I thought we deserved a goal. We were the protagonists. We were trying to actually make something happen. I don't even think Wales had a shot on goal in the first half. Then they made some adjustments. And actually, the first 5 or 10 minutes, I think when we go back and look at it, we were still somewhat in control. But once Kiefer Moore settled in, once Gareth Bale found the right pockets to try to be a little bit more dangerous in combination with Kiefer Moore, and everybody else kind of, there was just more urgency from Wales in the second half. And as we dropped back, I think there's a lot to learn and gain from that, especially from our back line. So there's a lot of positives. There's obviously some negatives. Walker's obviously got to do better in that one specific play. But I think as a group, we could have done a little bit better of not putting ourselves in that position. But we got 1 point. And as I mentioned before, the last 5 times that we have played in the World Cup and won or drawn the first game, we've gone on to advance. And I'm going to stick with that because I think that's really important.
Well,
Charlie, how about you? Charlie, you get to have this final thought because you said you make that mistake, you get benched, but you're starting him in the next game. So give us your final thought.
Yeah, because you can't drop anyone else. I mean, put anyone else into that position because no one's good enough to play better than Walker Zimmerman.
I fully agree, man.
But I saw a death kiss come at you and say, oh, you want to bring Pepe onto the squad, knowing that he can't play, that you think that he would be a better option. Death kiss still coming at you. My final thought is we got a point. Yes, we could have gotten the win. We could have. We're the better team, but we'll take it. And I'm positive against England that they're overlooking us, that they're not going to be playing, that we could catch them off guard. We can catch them as long as we defend as a unit and play well. I think we get a result against England. So holla at your boy. I'm ready. I'm hyped for our preview show on Wednesday and for the match on Friday, Black Friday. Let's go.
Yeah, I like it. My final thought is just on that. You know, if you were to ask people, we were going into this, everybody's saying we're gonna go 3 and out. We can't score. We're the worst team. Fire Greg. Get rid of all these players. None of them are good. Well, we got a point out of Wales. And yeah, I know it's disappointing because we had 3 points out of Wales, but I'm just excited that there is progress in this team right now and some excitement, I think, going into this England game and the next 2 games, knowing that we can realistically get out of this group. But that is it from us on In Soccer We Trust for this one. And of course, on behalf of Jimmy Conrad, Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, our producer Alex, and all of our producers that are helping us with this show, I'm Heath Gregory Pierce signing off, and we will see you guys on Wednesday. Bye.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.